Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hello and welcome to Reality Check. Today is Monday, the 7th of June, 2010, and I'm your host, Tony Pittman. And this is episode 39 of Reality Check here on Joy 94.9. Reality Check is a show designed to give you a healthy dose of reality. And we do that by promoting the art of critical thinking and skeptical analysis. Each week we bring you a roundup of LGBT news, followed by an in-depth analysis of an issue related to the paranormal or the pseudoscientific. And finally, we wrap up each show with a movie review. On today's show, after our LGBT news roundup, we're going to let you in on a secret. Well, not just a secret, but the secret. Yes, dear listener, The Secret, that best-selling video and book by Rhonda Byrne. We're finally going to spill the beans, expose the truth, and tell you what the secret really is, and whether it will change your life as it has for millions of people around the world, supposedly. Then, in our movie review, we'll have a look at an American film made in Jordan and based on a shocking true story from Iran, The Stoning of Soraya M. So for all that and more, stay tuned here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9. Okay, here's our LGBT news roundup for the last week or so. And let's start with a segment we haven't had for a couple of weeks now, but it's back this week, and that's Argentina Watch. And in Argentina Watch this week, I'm pleased to report that the sixth same-sex marriage in the country's history took place in Buenos Aires last Thursday, June 3rd. Alberto Fernandez and Matias Mendez tied the knot after a judge ordered the registry office to marry them. Now, we've been following each one of these same-sex marriages in Argentina in excruciating detail since they began last December. And until now, four of the six that have taken place have supposedly been annulled. I say supposedly because there is now some debate as to whether the annulments were valid. And there are even some reports that those marriages that were annulled were later unannulled by other judges. It's all terribly, terribly confusing. But hopefully it will all be resolved on July 14th when the Argentinian Senate finally votes on the marriage equality bill. It's gone through the lower house. The president is in favour, it just needs the vote of the Senate to make it into law. So in 6 weeks from now, hopefully that will come to pass. I just wonder how many more couples will get married by court order in the meantime. Now, continuing on the marriage theme, let's cross the Atlantic now and head to Portugal, where at this very moment in time, it's a few minutes past 11 o'clock in the morning on Monday, June 7th in Portugal, and that means that the new same-sex marriage law has now officially entered into force. And I believe that the first legal same-sex wedding in the history of Portugal will have just taken place, or will be taking place right now as we speak. and that's a wedding between two women, Teresa Pires and Elena Paixão. They were the couple who, in 2006, commenced a lawsuit arguing that banning same-sex marriage in Portugal was unconstitutional. In July last year, they lost that case, with the Constitutional Court finding that the Constitution was neutral on the matter and that this was therefore a question for the legislature to decide. And fortunately, the legislature did decide on the issue and passed a same-sex marriage bill earlier this year. And today, Teresa and Elena are the first to tie the knot. So a big congratulations go out to you, ladies, from us here at Reality Check. So now that same-sex marriage has officially begun in Portugal, let's just look at the current world tally. We now have 8 countries with same-sex marriage at the national level. They are 6 in Europe, Norway and Sweden, Belgium and the Netherlands, Spain and Portugal. Plus 2 outside Europe, they are South Africa and Canada. Plus we have 2 countries that allow marriage only in some jurisdictions but not nationally. And they are Mexico, which allows it in the Distrito Federal in Mexico City, and the United States, where it's been introduced in 5 states, plus the District of Columbia. So that's the situation as it stands today, but it's evolving rapidly. I suspect that within weeks, we'll also see same-sex marriage in Iceland and, fingers crossed, Argentina. And hopefully Slovenia, Finland and Nepal shouldn't be too far behind. So, message to you, Kevin Rudd, if you don't want to miss this historic opportunity to make Australia one of the first 10 countries in history to introduce same-sex marriage, well, you'd better pull your finger out and get moving. Although I have to admit, I won't be holding my breath for that to happen. It's such a shame, though, isn't it? 100 years ago, Australia was a world leader when it came to civil rights issues like these. After all, South Australia was one of the first jurisdictions in the world to give women the right to vote back in 1895. And that was extended to the whole country in 1902. That was very early. Unfortunately, though, that pioneering spirit is lacking around here these days. Now, keeping with the marriage theme, let's head to another part of the world entirely, to Pakistan, where on Tuesday, May 25th, police in Peshawar, in the northwest of the country, smashed into a building to break up what they called a same-sex wedding that was taking place. They arrested the couple and briefly detained 43 wedding guests. The couple remain in jail awaiting trial. Now, this is quite a complicated case because the members of the couple are a 48-year-old businessman, Iqbal Khan, and an 18-year-old transgender woman called Rani. Now, Rani is biologically male but lives as a woman. And actually, there's a long tradition of this in Pakistan, with members of that transgender community being known as Khusras or Hijras. The other complication in this matter is that Iqbal is already married with 5 children and wanted to take Rani as his second wife. He even paid a dowry to Rani's guru. So I have to say I'll be interested to see what happens with this case. I suspect that a number of Western governments and NGOs will not take up this case as fervently as they did, for example, the recent case of the same-sex couple in Malawi. Because of the 30-year age gap, because it's a second wife, because one of them is transgender, I suspect that for many Westerners, the whole affair will be seen as quite unsavory. Which would be a shame because those extraneous elements shouldn't get in the way of the fact that these two people are in jail for no good reason. That is unjust and unacceptable, whatever way you look at it. Anyway, dear listener, you can be sure that whatever happens will keep you up to date of all developments here on Reality Check. Now, finally and briefly in other news, well, we're now in the month of June, and this is the month in which most of the LGBT pride marches around the world take place. Most during the final weekend of June, but a few have already started. And that includes the biggest pride march in the world, which took place yesterday, Sunday, June the 6th, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, with an estimated 3 million participants. Now, one of the themes of the Sao Paulo parade this year was drawing attention to the horrendous levels of homophobic violence in the country. According to LGBT rights groups in Brazil, 198 people were murdered in homophobic attacks throughout the country last year. That's more than one every 2 days, a very alarming figure. And the other big Pride March, which took place over the weekend, was the 6th annual Athens Pride Parade in Greece. It was a slightly more sedate affair than the Sao Paulo event, with approximately 3,000 people marching, making it literally 1,000 times smaller than Sao Paulo Pride. But still, it's pretty significant that they have a pride parade at all, given that the concept of LGBT rights in Greece is still pretty embryonic and very few legal advances have been made there so far. All right, that's all the LGBT news we have time for today. Let's listen to a song now, and when we come back, we're going to tell you not a secret, but the secret. Yes, dear listener, we're finally going to let the cat out of the bag and tell you what the secret is. And most importantly, we're going to tell you whether it's a way to achieve whatever you want in life or just a way for a handful of extremely dodgy charlatans to become very, very rich. The truth will finally be revealed after this song here on Reality Check on Joy 94.9.
Cruising for joy? It's safe listening. Joy 94.9.
All day, all night. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Reality Check. I'm Tony Pittman and the station is Joy 94.9. And the song you just heard there was Saris by Maria João and Mario Laguinha, both from Portugal, and of course I played that song in honour of Portugal, where the first ever same-sex civil marriages are taking place right now, as we speak. An historic moment indeed. Okay, we move into the part of the show where we undertake a sceptical analysis of a subject related to pseudoscience or the paranormal. And tonight, by popular demand, we're finally going to reveal to you, dear listener, the secret. Can you really use the secret to earn millions of dollars, live in a luxury mansion, and heal any disease that may afflict you? Well, I know at least one person who's been able to use it to make vast sums of money, and that is Rhonda Byrne, the person who came up with a novel way to sell this interesting pseudoscientific idea. So what is the secret? Well, the secret is a 90-minute video and an accompanying book, both produced by Rhonda Byrne, that were released in 2006 and quickly started to become very popular. In late 2006, Rhonda Byrne travelled to the US and appeared on the Larry King Live show on CNN and then on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Then, on the 8th of February 2007, she really hit the jackpot. Let's have a listen.
Have you heard about it? This is the secret. In the past few months, talk about this DVD has been spreading around the world. We've heard from people in Europe, in Canada, all the way down under in Australia. I have to tell you, in one day, six people told me about this DVD. I mean, and I hadn't heard about it when the first person told me. By the time the sixth person told me, I go, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch it tonight. My guests today believe that once you discover the secret, that you can immediately start creating the life you want, whether it's getting out of debt, whether it's finding a more fulfilling job, even falling in love. They say you can have it all, and in fact, you already hold the power to make that happen. Here's how a woman from Australia stumbled upon what she calls the secret.
I discovered the secret towards the end of 2004.
Yes, Rhonda Byrne hit the big time when she appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, along with a panel of some of the so-called experts from the movie. This appearance, as well as many others, turned The Secret into the fastest-selling self-help book ever. By mid-2007, the DVD had sold 2 million copies, and the book over 4 million. The Secret's own website claims the book has now sold over 16 million copies. And Rhonda Byrne has been laughing all the way to the bank ever since. And, dear listener, just before we get into analysing The Secret, I'm sure you'll be interested to know about the local connection with this whole sordid affair. And that is that Rhonda Byrne is from here in Melbourne. And the video of The Secret was made and mostly shot here in Melbourne. Not something to be terribly proud of, in my opinion. So what actually is The Secret? Well, finally, dear listener, I'm going to tell you what it is. After all this build-up, I hope you won't be too disappointed. The Secret is a pseudoscientific concept known as the law of attraction. So what's the law of attraction? Well, according to Rhonda Byrne and her accomplices, it's a fundamental law of the universe that means that your thoughts and feelings attract things to you, literally. That means if you wish positively for something, it will come to you or happen to you. And also, if you have negative thoughts about certain things, those things will also be attracted to you. It's not just the power of positive thinking, she means it literally. And that's basically it. That's it. That whole 90-minute DVD, that whole 200-page book, all those experts and TV appearances are all just devoted to explaining that highly dubious theory again and again and again, in as many different ways as they can think of. For example, the book and the DVD have chapters such as The Secret to Money, The Secret to Relationships, The Secret to Health, etc., where they explain that if you want money, you just have to wish for it. If you want a relationship, you just have to wish for it. If you want health, you just have to wish for it, etc., etc. But they just take pages and pages and pages to explain the whole thing again and again and again. So it's all a bit of an anti-climax, I know. But, well, as I always say, never underestimate the power of charlatans and con artists to disappoint you. And I have to say that maybe the most disappointing thing for me about The Secret was just how infantile and simplistic it is. I had honestly been expecting some form of sophisticated reasoning to explain how and why the law of attraction works, along with some kind of complicated conspiracy theory about why it's supposedly been a secret for so long. At least something I could get my teeth into and examine in a bit of detail to see if there was any truth to the claims being made. But no, we just get a series of extremely dodgy New Age and self-help personalities saying the same thing over and over. You want a new Rolex? Just wish for it. You want a new mansion? Just wish for it. You want a new Ferrari? Just wish for it. It's just a 90-minute infomercial. Totally mind-numbing. Now let me give you some examples of just how infantile this whole thing is. One of the so-called experts who appears in the video, Joe Vitale, describes it like this. And I quote, "This is really fun. It's like having the universe as your catalogue. You flip through it and say, I'd like to have this experience, and I'd like to have that product, and I'd like to have a person like that. It is you placing your order with the universe. It's really that easy." Well, there you go, dear listener. It's really that easy. What more do you need to know? Oh, you want to know things like, how does this actually work? How do they know this? What kind of science and evidence do they use to back up these extraordinary claims? Well, I wouldn't worry too much about that. I mean, the makers of The Secret have certainly never seemed to worry too much about it. But let's at least try to analyze a couple of the basic arguments they make. Although you can't really call them arguments, they're really just assertions. So the first assertion that they make is that this is a secret. Using the law of attraction to get whatever you want is somehow a big secret. They even pretend that there's been this great conspiracy over thousands of years to keep the secret from being discovered by the masses. Let me quote from the book again. Rhonda Byrne says, "I began tracing the secret back through history. I couldn't believe all the people who knew this. They were the greatest people in history. Plato, Shakespeare, Newton, Hugo, Beethoven, Lincoln, Emerson, Edison, Einstein." Yeah, of course, you knew Einstein had to get a look in somehow. Now, interestingly, there's no footnote to that sentence in the book, and there's no further explanation at all in the video or the book about how she knows this or on what basis she makes this statement. I guess we just have to take her word for it. Then later in the book, you find this lovely quote. "The leaders in the past who had the secret wanted to keep the power and not share the power. They kept people ignorant of the secret. People went to work, they did their job, they came home. They were on a treadmill with no power because the secret was kept in the few." But apparently Rhonda Byrne was filled with a burning desire to share the secret with the world once she'd discovered it. How magnanimous of her. Of course, this is all just made-up garbage. The truth is that the secret is obviously not a secret and never has been. The pseudoscientific idea of the law of attraction has been around for over 100 years. Rhonda Byrne just managed to find a new and incredibly successful way to rehash and rework the basic philosophy of what was previously known as the New Thought Movement, which developed in the United States in the late 19th century. In fact, in 1906, William Walker Atkinson published a book called Thought Vibration or the Law of Attraction in the Thought World. And it was another book published in 1910, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, that Rhonda Byrne read in 2004 that gave her the whole idea of making the video of The Secret. Rhonda says that after she read that book, she then looked for information on the internet, and within a couple of weeks, she'd contacted all the great teachers of The Secret in the world. Or in other words, a motley collection of wacko New Age motivational gurus who happened to incorporate some elements of the Law of Attraction into their wacko New Age philosophies. And think about it. A couple of weeks on the internet and she'd managed to contact dozens of these teachers. Wow! Something you can find so easily with Google certainly sounds like a massive secret, doesn't it? And as for the science behind The Secret, well, it's hardly worthy of the name science. Let me give you an example of the types of assertions they make, in order to supposedly give some scientific backing to The Secret. And I'm quoting here. Thoughts are magnetic and thoughts have a frequency. As you think thoughts, they are sent out into the universe and they magnetically attract all like things that are on the same frequency. Everything sent out returns to the source, you. End quote. And of course, those things that come back to you magnetically include luxury yachts, diamond rings, fur coats, the whole shebang. Just amazing, isn't it? Now, dear listener, I feel a bit silly having to do this, but let me just state this for the record so that it's perfectly clear. The claim that your thoughts somehow fly out into the universe and magnetically attract things to you has no basis in science whatsoever. It is, as I said before, completely and utterly infantile. And of course, the other dubious scientific assertion that they make about The Secret is that it's all based on, you guessed it, quantum physics. Although they never really argue the point, they just assert it very briefly and then go on with their tiresome sales pitch. But the basic assertion they make is similar to the one we dealt with here on Reality Check a few weeks ago in episode 36, when we discussed Deepak Chopra and his concept of quantum healing. But whereas Deepak at least wrote a couple of books about the idea, the makers of The Secret deal with it in about two sentences. And in one of those sentences, they almost use the exact same wording that Deepak uses. They say, quote, happier thoughts lead to essentially a happier biochemistry. Now that's pure Deepak. But I don't want to get into quantum physics arguments today because we already dealt with them at some length in that previous episode. So if you're interested in hearing those arguments, head to the Reality Check website and download episode 36. That's at realitycheckonline.net. But the quantum physics arguments do lead me to probably the most worrying aspect of this whole mountain of scheisse that is The Secret. And that is when they apply it to health. One of the experts who appears in the video, Michael Beckwith, who's simply described as a visionary, whatever that means, says, and I quote, I've seen kidneys regenerated, I've seen cancer dissolved, I've seen eyesight improve and come back. And all that through the power of The Secret, supposedly. Now, claims like that, kidneys regenerated, cancer dissolved, Claims like that are deeply irresponsible and cause untold harm. For example, soon after Rhonda Byrne and her cronies appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Oprah received a letter from a woman named Kim Tinkham, who wrote to announce that after having learnt the secret by watching the show, she had now decided to halt her breast cancer treatments and heal herself with her mind. Now, fortunately, Oprah still retains some vague sense of ethics, and so on a later show, she spoke to her audience to clarify what the law of attraction really means, saying that it's not really the best answer to everything, and imploring Kim to go back onto treatment. But I wonder about all the other people who didn't write to Oprah. People we never heard about who saw the video or read the book or saw Rhonda Byrne on TV and made the same decision as Kim and ended up dying or becoming unnecessarily disfigured or disabled. Obviously, we have no way of knowing how many people took Rhonda Byrne's health advice literally. But given the millions who have now heard her message, one can well imagine that there are quite a few. Once again, as we've seen here many times on Reality Check, the people who promote wacko New Age healing therapies or other forms of alternative medicine have real victims. They have a body count. Now, the other problematic aspect of the whole secret philosophy is the same one we saw with Deepak Chopra and quantum healing. It is a morally repugnant philosophy because it insists that if bad things happen to you, it's because you wished for them. They say in The Secret, literally, that if you have a car accident, it's because you attracted it. Now, that's nice to hear, isn't it, when you wake up in the hospital as a quadriplegic? And what about people who are raped and murdered? Well, I guess they must have wished that upon themselves too. And what about, I don't know, the victims of the Holocaust or a tsunami or an earthquake? I guess they must have all brought these calamities upon themselves by willing them to happen. What silly fools they were. In fact, in an interview on ABC Nightline in the United States, Bob Proctor, one of the experts who appears at length in The Secret, was asked about children starving to death in Darfur and whether they attracted that starvation to themselves. Bob Proctor replied, "I think the country probably has." Oh, so that was the problem. A slight variation of the law of attraction there, was it? Well, maybe what they need is for you to go over there, Bob, to Darfur, and teach them the secret. Oh, you'll have the problem sorted out in a jiffy. Oh, and while you're at it, why not pop up to Jerusalem and resolve the whole nasty Israel-Palestine issue too? Oh, and maybe include a side trip to Pyongyang to fix up the whole North Korean mess as well. Oh, thanks, Bob. That would really be much appreciated. Those stupid people haven't learnt the secret yet, so they don't realise that they're just attracting all those problems to themselves. Now, I really can't conclude a discussion of The Secret without mentioning one of the decidedly dubious characters who appears in both the video and the book. And that's James Arthur Ray, introduced in the video as a philosopher. He's actually a New Age motivational speaker and the writer of numerous self-help books, such as Harmonic Wealth, which claims to make you rich using, surprise, surprise, quantum physics. He also organizes various programs, seminars, and retreats in which at least one person has died and several others have been injured since 2005. But the most notorious incident with which he's been involved occurred on the 8th of October last year, when 3 people died and 17 others were hospitalized after participating in a sweat lodge that James Ray organized as part of a spiritual warrior weekend retreat. The dead and injured were suffering from dehydration, kidney failure, and elevated body temperature after being stuck in that dark, cramped sweat lodge for almost an hour, while Ray stood at the door to prevent people from leaving. Even when people started vomiting, collapsing, and gasping for air, he still urged everyone to stay inside to cleanse themselves. After a police investigation, Ray was arrested on the 3rd of February this year and is currently out on bail awaiting trial on 3 charges of manslaughter. The trial is due to begin in September. Oh, but don't feel sorry for him, dear listener. According to his own philosophy, he must have wanted this to happen. By the way, dear listener, I'm sure you'll be interested to know that participants at his fun and deadly weekend retreat each paid almost $10,000 for the pleasure. I just wonder if dying a horrible death from heat exhaustion was included when they placed their order with the universe for that uplifting experience. Maybe they neglected to read the fine print. So, at the end of all this, what's the reality check conclusion on The Secret? Well, I have to say, I was actually surprised at how completely unsophisticated it is. It is really just moronic. It is one of the most lazy, manipulative, cynical pieces of motivational fluff that I've ever seen. They're clearly not aiming this material at scientists or historians or anyone who has a basic understanding of critical thinking. They're really aiming at an uncritical, unsophisticated mass market who just want simple solutions they don't have to think too much about. And maybe the most depressing part for me is the whole material focus of the message. I mean, if you could really make anything happen, as they say that you can, I don't know, but wouldn't you wish for, like, resolutions to major world conflicts, the end of malnutrition and poverty for billions of people, the end of disease, something like that? And yet the people in The Secret, who supposedly can order anything they want from the universe, just order nice watches, luxury cars, and multi-million dollar mansions. Now, I want to read you here one last quote from the book and the movie that gives you an idea of the level at which the marketers of The Secret are aiming. Here's the quote. "Why do you think that 1% of the population earns around 96% of all the money that's being earned? Do you think it's an accident? It's designed that way. They understand something. They understand The Secret. And now you are being introduced to The Secret." You see, dear listener, the response to the great inequalities of wealth in the world today is not to seek a fairer system of wealth distribution. No, it's to get in on the act yourself and become one of the 1%. And soon you too will have your own private jet and giant plasma screen TV. Yay! Well, I guess The Secret does work in one sense, because I have no doubt that one person, Rhonda Byrne, managed to score herself a nice big plasma screen TV at the very least from this whole sordid, squalid affair that is The Secret. Now, before we play a song, if you have any questions or comments about The Secret or something else we've covered on the show, or maybe a topic you'd like us to cover, please send us an email. The address is realitycheck.tony, T-O-N-Y, at gmail.com. You can also visit our webpage, that's realitycheckonline.net. All right, let's listen to our final song for today, and when we come back, we'll get into this week's movie review.
All day, all day, all night. Joy 94.9.
Hey, I'm Darren Hayes, and you're on Joy, Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station.
Welcome back to Reality Check with me, Tony Pittman, on Joy 94.9. Also streaming live at joy.org.au. And also available as a podcast to listen to anywhere in the world on your little pod. And the song you just heard there was Kelly Watch the Stars by French group Air from the year 1998. Okay, it's movie review time here on Reality Check, and the movie up for review this evening is The Stoning of Soraya M, based on the 1994 book of the same name by the French-Iranian journalist Freydoun Sahebjam. This is an American production shot entirely on location in Jordan about the true story of the stoning of a young woman, Soraya, in a small village in Iran in 1986. In that year, Sahebjam was working in Iran as a war correspondent for a French newspaper, and during one of his trips, he happened to stop in Soraya's small village soon after the stoning had taken place. There, he met Soraya's aunt, and she told him the horrific story of what had happened to her niece. 8 years later, his account of that story became a best-selling book, and now, 24 years later, it's been made into a film. The Stoning of Soraya M basically tells the story of Sahebjam's arrival in the village and his encounter with Zara, Soraya's aunt. The story of Soraya's stoning and the events leading up to it is all told as a flashback that takes up about 90% of the film's length. Soraya's husband is a violent, selfish man and decides he wants a divorce so he can marry a 14-year-old girl he's met in Tehran. Soraya refuses to divorce him because this would leave her destitute, so the husband concocts a plan to accuse her of adultery, the punishment for which is stoning. Soraya is found guilty by the men of the village and the stoning takes place. The movie then ends with Sahebjam having recorded this story on tape, trying to escape the village so he can let the world know about this horrifying incident. While watching this film, it occurred to me that if I had to pitch this movie to a producer, I'd describe it as Dancer in the Dark meets The Passion of the Christ. Although personally, I would have preferred a little more Lars von Trier and a little less Mel Gibson. But I think it has elements of both those films. The similarities to Dancer in the Dark come from the fact that you have a young woman living in a small community of conniving hypocrites and who comes to an inescapable but totally unjust end. The similarities to The Passion of the Christ are much more obvious, especially as this movie was made by one of the same producers and stars James Caviezel as Sahebjam. Yes, he's the one who played Jesus. But the biggest similarity comes in the way the director revels in the depictions of blood-soaked graphic violence and uses all those dramatic slow-motion shots with exotic wailing Middle Eastern music over the top. One thing this movie definitely is not is subtle. It's not subtle in the depiction of the stoning, nor is it subtle in the characters and dialogue. The characters are all very two-dimensional, good and virtuous, or evil and scheming, without too many shades in between. The dialogue is also quite clunky and often seems quite contrived and given to over-explanation. But on the plus side, the actors are all speaking Farsi, so this does add a certain level of realism to the depiction of life in a small Iranian village. And I think this is what I appreciated most about this movie. Despite the fact that it's a bit schmaltzy sometimes, it's interesting to see what life in an Iranian village must be like, and what kind of series of events would actually lead to someone being stoned. And also, it's fascinating to see the actual mechanics of a stoning depicted in all their brutal, disturbing detail. You see the hole being dug. You see stones being collected by the children. You see the woman led from her house, being placed in the hole, having her hands tied, and being buried up to the waist. You see a white line being drawn in the sand, behind which the men and boys have to stand while throwing the stones. And maybe the thing that surprised me most of all is the size of the stones. I always thought they'd just use massive stones that would kill someone with a few blows. But they're not massive at all. They're just stones from the roadside about the size of the palm of your hand. And with stones this size, it takes a long time and a lot of blood to be shed before a person actually dies. Perhaps the most powerful moment in the film is when Soraya is about to be put in the hole and is allowed to speak her last words. And she asks the gathered villagers, "How can you do this to me? I've lived in this village all my life. You all know me. I'm your sister, your cousin, your neighbor. I've eaten in your homes. You've eaten in my home. How can you now stone me to death?" There's a moment of confused silence, and then one man shouts, "It's God's law," and then everyone joins in. "Oh yeah, that's right, it's God's law. That's right, we don't have to think about it because it's God's law. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And the stoning gets underway. Yet another example of the terrifying madness of crowds. So overall, I would say that The Stoning of Soraya M is definitely a film worth checking out. Obviously, as it is so harrowing and violent, it's not a film that's going to be to everyone's liking. But it is a very revealing and enlightening film about this brutal form of punishment that, unbelievably, is still carried on in several countries today. And that's something that people need to know about, as unpalatable as it may be. Now, finally, before we finish up the show for today, I should mention that next week's episode of Reality Check is going to be a little bit different from normal, because next week we'll be in the middle of the Joy 94.9 Radiothon. And I'll be joined by Sonia Suter, and we'll be taking lots of calls from listeners who want to become members of Joy. But I'm sure we'll still have time to cover most of our regular content as well. And that brings us to the end of the 39th episode of Reality Check on Joy 94.9. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send any questions, comments, or feedback to realitychecktony@gmail.com and visit our website at realitycheckonline.net. And remember to tune in at 8 o'clock next Monday for episode 40 and the Joy Radiothon. Coming up next, David presents An Awkward Pause. Have a great week, everyone. See you next week.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.